Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. My wife and I were fortunate when our son was born. We had in our letters of call, we had provided for parental leave. Now, what we decided to do was for about the first 2 to 3 weeks after Andrew was born, we would both take full time off to offer each other moral support to figure out how to raise this thing that now lives in our house. But then we decided to split up the rest of the parental leave in part-time ways, so for the longest period of time possible, one of us could be at home with him and he could stay at home. We are proud of the fact that I'm trying to figure out why we have all this crackling going on. We are proud of the fact sign language that we were able to keep him home. We went into the doctor for his 6-month checkup, and the doctor said, so where does he spend the day? And proudly we said, we have him at home. And she goes, oh no. And what do you mean, oh no? She said, if you really want his immune system to develop well, he needs to be out and among other kids and to get what they get and learn how to fight it off. And so at that point, we put him into childcare, and sure enough, the kid got an amazingly healthy immune system. In fact, he'll pick up something from school, have it for a day or two, get over it, and then my wife and I will get it for at least 2 to 3 weeks afterwards to fight it. But it really seems odd. Being exposed to the germs actually made him more healthy and whole. I find that an interesting connection because there's a real estate agent in McKinney, Texas, who is targeting people from the West Coast, particularly the area in San Francisco, and asking them to move to McKinney, Texas. And the group he's targeting are those who are tired of living in a blue state. And so he sells McKinney as the place where they can come and live in a red community, where everyone around them will look like them, sound like them, and will be of the same ideology as they are. And there seems to be a growing interest in this kind of purification of communities. I want to focus on this concept of purity, because it really plays a significant role in the Gospel of Mark, and it helps us understand what's going on in the 13th chapter of Mark. One of the social phenomena that Mark addresses throughout his gospel is the distinction between purity and defilement. You know, you find lines like this in Mark, where Jesus drives out the unclean spirits. You find out that he cleanses a leper. You see that Jesus' disciples are criticized because they're caught eating with defiled hands. In the first century, really, the Jewish nation was a temple state, David Rhodes writes, where all religious, political, and economical life centered around the temple in Jerusalem. And it was believed that God dwelt on earth in the inner sanctuary of that temple. God's presence there and proper worship of God in the temple would guarantee prosperity of the nation, economic prosperity, and national security. So what happened is Jerusalem becomes God's holy city, and the people become God's holy people. It's important to grasp that notion of being holy, because to be holy is to be set apart, untainted by anything impure, unclean, or unacceptable. And the Jews in Palestine found it their mission to preserve God's holiness and to preserve their own holiness. They believed that if they did not, then God may withdraw and remove all protections and all benefits. So they organized their world to preserve holiness. You can find a structure then that is created geographically, that while the land of Israel is considered holy, the Holy of Holies within the temple is considered still more holy. You can see it applied to people in Scripture as well, that children without parents are considered holy, but the high priest is still more holy than those children. And so by observing what a culture considers to be pure and what it considers to be polluted, one can then see how the culture gives order to the world. Order is about everything being in its right place. So consider that we have a memorial garden to the outside of this wall over here, and in the memorial garden is soil. And that soil belongs there. It's part of the garden. However, if I'm doing a committal service and I'm kneeling in front of the place where we are placing the ashes, I end up getting some of that soil on my robe. The language I use is what? I got my robe dirty. You notice how we shifted from soil to dirty, that the soil belongs where it is. It doesn't belong on my robe. And so that which is pure in this sense of order around holiness is what is to be where it is placed. And so there's concern about where people belong, and everything and every person has its proper place. It's important to focus on the temple and this notion of holiness, because in the first section of the 13th chapter of Mark, prior to today's reading, Jesus announces that the temple will be destroyed. It's more than tearing down a building. It's tearing down a way of life that people believed made their lives work. So Jesus, in this text, tells us the temple will be destroyed, the purity cult will be destroyed as well. So we have the structure people use to make things work being destroyed. The other thing that's introduced in the early part of Mark 13 is that the people will encounter natural disasters throughout the area in which they live. And they will see nations threaten to wage war against other nations. And so not only is this sense of purity being upset, but also all of these cataclysmic events lie in front of them. But Jesus tells the his followers that they will be tempted to do in those moments when it doesn't seem like the structure is working and there are disasters around them. They will be tempted to listen to the voices of false messiahs. They will invest in the teachings of others who will not save them. One of the earnings in that time when everything seems to be upside down and there are disasters around us is this desire to hang on to people who say, why don't we just go back to the time when we had the purity? Why don't we go back to a time once again that sets people apart and puts people in their right places, and that the qualities that we use to determine who is put into what place are based upon gender and race and economic status. There could also be those who push a more approach more geared towards morality, thinking that it's about doing the right thing. It's really a morality that's based on feeling. And if something feels right, it's good. If it feels wrong, it's bad. And so those who base the morality on feeling are those that despair when they see someone else struggling or suffering, and they want to present themselves as the solution to that struggling and suffering. Unfortunately, what can so easily happen is it creates dependency. It creates a victim, and the person can present themselves and their approach to the world as the solution to that problem. Countering the Messiah of purity and the Messiah of morality, we have in front of us in this text Jesus as the Messiah. And what we see Jesus doing is that Jesus converts his followers from this socialization of purity and defilement and boundaries to a new culture that is shaped by the kingdom of God. This Jesus movement in Mark that we read about, this is a Jesus who treats boundaries as something that are supposed to be crossed. He withdraws boundaries. He eliminates boundaries. Jesus overcomes this need for purity and cleanness not by dividing and separating people, but by bringing about wholeness for people. But God is not confined to the temple, but in Mark, God spreads life, spreads this life-giving power through Jesus and his followers. In Mark 3, we see it so well expressed that one guards not the nation, nor the temple, nor even the body. One guards the heart, that what comes out of the heart is life-giving for others and not destructive to others. What is life-giving and not destructive? What is it then that we who claim Jesus as the Messiah do? First, we wait. I remember talking to a member of my parish in Ohio. His mother was getting ready to celebrate her 80th birthday, and he expressed his frustration because he and his wife had invited his mother out for dinner and then back to their house for ice cream and cake to celebrate afterwards, and his mother said, no, I'm going to wait for your brother to come and spend the evening with me and celebrate with me. And the first question this son asked was, why is it that parents take the son who does everything for them and prefer the other son instead? So I'm not sure I have an answer to that, but I know it plays out so many times. But he told me that around 10 o'clock at night, he went and drove by his mother's house. Porch lights were on, and she was still sitting on the front porch waiting for her son to arrive. He never did. We're not waiting for someone like that. We're not waiting for someone who will abandon us and leave us to our own devices. It's more like when I make calls in nursing homes, and normally there are people sitting in their wheelchairs along the hallways, and it's difficult for me to walk to the room where I want to go because people in those wheelchairs are reaching out to me. They think maybe I'm their son. They want someone to speak to them, to acknowledge them, to take their hand, to at least smile and greet them. And as we yearn for one who will do that, we wait for the one who will, Jesus Christ. I think our problem in waiting is that we lose focus of why we wait. We want to focus on how well we can wait instead of on why we are waiting. And the reason that we are waiting is because there is no place so unclean. There's no place so distasteful, so horrible, or so disgusting that Jesus won't visit it. God, through Jesus, encounters every part of our lives totally unconcerned about how clean and pure we are. And in his presence with us, that's where we find wholeness. Find wholeness through mercy and compassion and love and forgiveness, setting us right. It's not about how we wait. It's about why we wait. We are waiting for the only one who can make us whole. In that time of waiting, we witness. It seems to me that if our call is to be witnesses, that means that we first of all show a willingness to engage in people who are different than us. If our call is to be a witness, that means that we will search out and we will engage with people who are different than we are. They look different than us. Their age is different. Their economic status is different. Their race is different. That as a witness, we aren't afraid that we will be contaminated by someone who is different from us, but are willing to be fully engaged in the life of that person. For I believe that wholeness is only found when creation and all creatures are restored. So as witnesses, we're not afraid to engage those who are different than us. And as witnesses, we are not afraid to engage those who think differently than we do. Imagine how boring it would be. Maybe you already discovered this. How boring it would be if everyone thought just like you did. Probably what you do is what I do, is I'm convinced that the way I think is the best way, so everyone should think that way. You aren't going to be contaminated by listening to the thoughts and ideas of someone who thinks differently than you. It will not make you impure. It will not harm you. Take the opportunity to listen to what the person is saying. Hold their thoughts in your mind and think through what they're trying to say. Ask them questions for clarification. Find out how they got where they got in their way of thinking. Witnesses are not afraid to figure out why someone else thinks differently than they do. You will not be contaminated. Your brain will not turn to mush if you, as a conservative, talk to a liberal. And your life will not be over, and you should not be institutionalized if you, as a liberal, dare to talk to a conservative. call is to witness to the God who makes whole. You see, purity is a trap. Purity as a trap is about self-preservation. It's about self-justification. It's about self-righteousness. And purity leads us to focus on how well we wait and how well we stay awake. It leads us to say that we have to be ready. We have to be awake. We have to be alert. But your call is not to see how well you wait. It's to see why you wait. And do you know why you wait? You wait because God is in love with you. That's why you wait for this God. And you wait because Jesus died for you. That's why you wait for this Lord and Savior. And you wait because the Holy Spirit is making you whole. That's why you wait. And you wait because Jesus is coming. That's why you wait. You wait because Jesus will set the world right. That's why you wait. And you wait because Jesus is doing it for you. That's why you wait. And that, brothers and sisters, why in the midst of chaos, you can find life. Amen.